Welcome to Release Your Wings. Our special series is Experiencing God. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha. Hello, Shireen.
Hi, Dan.
Tonight, we have a really cool topic. It's God as the guide to our lives. So, let's talk about this. First of all, the guide concept ties into a BK term called Satguru. Is that right?
Right. Satguru, true guide. When you translate the term, it's true guide.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, guru could also mean a teacher.
So God could be true guide or true teacher in that sense.
Yes, but we use him as a guide. That we use the word guru as a guide, that he's guiding us.
So when we're using it as a guide, where is he guiding us to? Or what is he guiding us to?
Two things. He's guiding us back to our own original self,
uh-huh.
Our own original purity, and he's guiding us back home.
Yes, and you've got a nice visual for that. Talk to us about that.
When we talk about home, we say that beyond this physical world, beyond the Milky Way, beyond the galaxies, beyond everything, that there is a world of white light.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that region of white light, there is a world of golden orange light.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we call home, or the home of the soul. Here we have a costume, we play our part. I'm playing the part of Shireen, and you're playing the part of Dan. But
right.
When we are in the home, there is no part.
So our bodies are gone, and we're back to the pure point of light that is the soul.
That is the soul, exactly. And it's the golden orange color. It's the color of a beautiful sunset.
Mm-hmm. I see. And then God is above that.
He's in the top of that region of light. So he's guiding us back home. Time for us to go home, and he's guiding us back home.
And he's guiding us back home to the realization of that, because we're going to go there regardless. Is that right?
Yes, everyone gets to go there.
Okay.
The good news is everyone is going.
Okay, nobody's being left off the bus.
No one is going to be left behind.
Oh,
and
good.
The other part is he guides us to the golden age.
Yeah. So, wait a minute. I'm going to go to Golden Age in a minute, but I want to pick up a piece first. Part of this going home is the bodilessness. Part of it is, you help me with the wording on this.
Incorporeal?
Incorporeal.
I know, it's an unusual word.
Talk to me about how these fit and being detached.
Those are the three things I feel that those are the tools to go back home, that
mm-hmm.
I have to become bodiless, and I have to become detached, and then I have to become incorporeal. When I say bodiless, these
yes.
are actually very subtle terminology that we use in the BKs, and they specify certain meditation techniques we use.
Uh-huh.
When I say bodiless, what it means is that I'm in this body, but I'm just in that state of being a point of light in the body.
So I'm
completely bodiless. I'm not aware of the body.
Right.
And then when I say detached, is I'm detached from everything that's going on. I'm able to observe everything as an observer,
mm-hmm.
as a detached observer, that I'm not invested emotionally, I'm not invested in any outcome, all of those things, I'm able to stay detached.
Yes.
And then the last one is incorporeal, which is when I go to the soul world, and even in my meditation now,
mm-hmm.
I go to the soul world a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Several times during the day, because when I go there, I'm incorporeal. That is, there's no body to be bodiless.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you're in the soul world, you're incorporeal, you're just a point of light in this region of light.
Got it. Nicely said. Now you can talk about the Golden Age.
Oh, I forgot about the Golden Age.
I knew I'd have to bring you back because I distracted you from the original.
I was in the soul world. The Golden Age. For us, there is a time period which we call age.
Yes.
Actually, the whole world, the planet Earth, goes through different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an age. That means it's a duration of time. It's a length of time where it is at its most pristine, harmonious, beautiful self.
That's not happening at this moment.
Obviously not. And so everyone are harmonious. Everyone, the religion that is practiced there, actually it's not a physical religion, is of nonviolence, of peace, of harmony, of happiness. There is not even a mention of the word sorrow because no one experiences sorrow.
I see. Uh-huh.
And so he guides us back to be able to live in that land.
In that land being on earth, but in the golden age.
It will be a different age than now.
Yeah.
The age will change, like a season changes.
I assume that's not happening this week or this month. Is that right?
It could.
It could? Oh, good. Well, can I mark it on my calendar?
I always used to joke with people when they asked me, when it's coming? I said, 2 weeks.
Always 2 weeks.
Always 2 weeks.
From now.
It's one of the things I feel is that to be able to go into the golden age, mm-hmm. you can't just go there. Because you have to learn to be peaceful now. Because if you go there angry, you will destroy it in a minute.
Aha. Uh-huh. So would that mean that when Earth gets more and more peaceful, it eases into it? Or is it all of a sudden like a tsunami of goodwill? That
It's kind of, it happens over a period of time. Uh-huh. But it's not hundreds of years, maybe 20, 30 years.
I see. So in one lifetime, it could start evolving very quickly in the BK way of knowing.
Right.
But we don't know when that fuse gets lit exactly.
Soon. And God doesn't tell us this. Uh-huh. I mean, he doesn't give us an exact time. Well, this is going to happen today. It's not set like that. But for me, the reason I'm saying soon is when I see the situations in the world.
Uh-huh.
Just the feeling of how things are heating up in the world, it seems like it's going to be soon.
So then it'll sort of flip over at some point. We'll get enough tired of the old way of sorts.
Exactly. There'll be enough people. Yeah. Everyone doesn't need to be tired of the old way. There'll be enough people tired of the old way that'll flip over.
Ah, got it. So talk to me about the golden age and karma. Does that wipe out karma or does that...
No, God actually guides us out of karma.
Ah, talk about that.
What
please.
Happens is that we all have a karmic account or a burden of debt of the negative karmas we have performed with people. And so he comes and guides us and he says, this is the way out of your negative debt.
Uh-huh.
And so what happens is because he wipes that out, then we are able to go there pure without a clean slate, so to speak.
So that makes the golden age a little clearer than if that sort of karmic debt is wiped out. So we're not playing with the Maya, we're not playing with the negativity.
There is no Maya there. There is no Maya there.
Got it. So talk about God as the guide for giving direction, for purity, for achieving peace, etc. How does that happen? How does God give direction on that, or how do you achieve it as a BK?
What happens is that when I connect with God, mm-hmm. then I follow his directions on being soul conscious, follow his directions on some of the things that I'm asked to do every day, like a meditation in the morning, meditation in the evening. Those are the things about becoming pure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always feel that as are your directions, so is the destination.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm following directions from God, then my destination will be of peace and purity and happiness.
So in doing those...
Because he won't be able to give us anything else. Because
right.
he's so pure and peaceful and happy, that's all we'll get.
And it's almost like a filtering process of getting your thoughts less negative, more pure, etc. as you go through, as you do the meditations
right.
and the ritual type things of mindfulness and the like.
Exactly. And also what I've noticed is even in regular life, let's say, you're talking to someone and you say, oh, do this, and the person really implements your directions. Mm-hmm. You automatically have blessings for the person for implementing the directions.
Uh-huh.
In the same way, I feel that God as the guide gives us blessings. If we implement his directions, then we receive his blessings.
I see. So talk to me, because we have the blessings here, but there's a danger of thinking of the my blessings, or the concept of mine, of being...
You know, that's interesting you have to say that, because I feel that is one of the biggest illusions
uh-huh.
of mine.
Yeah.
Especially when we talk about my gifts,
uh-huh.
my service, my activities, I have to do this, I have to do that, my thoughts, uh-huh. even my weaknesses.
They're not really mine. I'm sorry. So the ultimate minefield is dangerous.
Yes. What here it means is that originally I am pure.
Mm-hmm.
So a weakness really is not my original quality. So it's not mine. It's an external temporary quality that attached itself to me.
Got it.
And so I shouldn't be taking ownership of it.
Yeah. So I have friends who talk that even they have great wealth, and they say, I don't even think of it as mine. I think of myself as custodian of this.
A trustee. But a trustee maybe of our blessings. We shouldn't even think of ourselves as trustees of our weaknesses.
Good.
And so trustee of God's blessings for us.
Part of this detachedness is also something that is the danger of having golden threads. Elaborate on that, because that's a very seductive concept, I think, that's worth talking about.
I was sharing with you how that we all recognize iron cages.
Yes.
If I'm in extreme bondage with something, I know how to get out of it. But if we keep ourselves in gilded cages, gilded cages as something is really nice, it's making me feel happy, and so I'm going to keep it, or this is my weakness, or this is my service, or this is my activity, all of these things.
I don't mind drinking alcohol to deaden the pain because it feels pleasant in the short term, or I have great recognition and that's wonderful.
I have the most intelligence in the world, or whatever it is. Those kinds of are golden threads that really bind us.
Yeah, I guess the alcohol wouldn't be a golden thread in that thing. That would just be
It depends on who.
Yeah. But so sometimes what we are attached to is just how wonderful we are. And part of that getting detached from that is realizing even a greater payoff of being one
exactly.
with God.
You know, that even whatever goodness I have, whatever virtues I have to remember they've been given as gifts.
Uh-huh.
Because it could become a golden thread.
Yes.
For example, if I think my virtue is being accurate on time, and very soon I'll start judging everyone else for not being on time.
Exactly. By the way, you don't have to worry about that one. Not to be judgmental.
Or being on time.
Or being on time. Exactly. So within the golden threads thing, then what we attach to, even good things, is in our way to some degree. That's where we're going with it.
If we remember that they're gifts and I have to use the gifts for myself and to be merciful and compassionate with everyone else.
Yeah. I like that in the gifts thing because you're relating to what I hear often in Western Christianity in the grace of God. It is given, and it's given without my doing anything. That is the grace and the gift of it. That's a nice thought. It doesn't require us to say, oh, I don't really deserve this.
Exactly. You know, when you think about this, like these subtle gifts, these subtle things that God guides us through.
Yes.
That it really is a guidance. It's a very personal, like a personal guidance, a personal life coach sitting there and saying, no, this is not this way, this way, this way. It's almost like we've trapped ourselves in a really big maze. And we need to go home, one part of it, we need to find our own original self. The other part of it, we need to find our way to the golden age. And so he's like taking us out of this maze.
Right. So I'm suddenly thinking of God as a great GPS. Is that right? And similar to the GPS, if we get off course, my GPS doesn't fuss at me. It just says recalculating. And it's giving me instructions of what to do next, not fussing or judging me within that. Well, that's a very nice thought as a final. Is there one other thing is to be guided? Is one last thought we have?
I feel that God will become your guide.
Yes.
If you accept him as your guide. That you have to seek that. And also for me, there is one phrase that I always like. It's my favorite. Is manmanabhav, which means to be his with my mind, to focus my mind on only him. And that is the best guidance I have received so far, because that's almost like a life-giving nectar.
Yes.
And many times it has dispelled illusion, it's dispelled my ignorance, it's dispelled my darkness about certain things. And so I really like that phrase, manmanabhav. And it's not exactly a mantra that we say, but we understand that. How to focus my mind on him alone.
I think that sounds strange to the Western ear, but I think maybe a close proximity would be love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And that is the reminder of that.
Yes, to just focus on one.
Absolutely. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us. I hope this has been helpful. Goodbye.